Psalm 96, verses 1 to 13. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Shane. Please keep that open as let me pray as we begin. Father God, your word is a lamp for our feet and a light on our path. Lift our eyes from the passing glories of this world to your eternal glory and help us to respond with faith and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Raise your hands if you are going to watch the World Cup final tonight. Much of the world will stop to watch the World Cup final. Some of you might already be thinking about it, and some of you might be pretending not to think about it, especially those who didn't raise their hands. And some of you might be simply wondering whether the sermon will finish in time. Don't worry, I'm watching at the back. Tonight we begin a new sermon series called The Lord Reigns, starting at in Psalm 96. Before the nations celebrate the glory of tonight's winner, Psalm 96 lifts our eyes to a greater glory, the glory of one team, not the glory of one team, one country, or one trophy, but the glory of the Lord, the God who made heavens, reigns over the nations, and is worthy of the worship of all the earth. So here is the question Psalm 96 put before us this evening. Why is the Lord worthy is the worship of the worship of all the earth? The Psalm answers the question through three calls: to sing, to declare, and to rejoice. First call is to sing to the Lord because he alone is worthy. Look down with me in verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. The psalm opens with a summons to sing, and notice who is being summoned. Not just Israel, not just regular worshippers, not just the people who know the tune. All the earth is called to sing to the Lord. That might be good news for some of us. The Bible commands us to sing. It does not say we all have to sing beautifully. Though Psalm 33 says, sing to him a new song, play skillfully. So our musicians are not completely off the hook. As the psalm continues, singing widens into worship. Look at verses 7 to 9. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. So this is not simply a call to enjoy some religious songs. It is a call to recognize who the Lord is and to give Him the honor due to Him and to offer our lives to Him in worship. In the Old Testament, worship involved coming before the Lord and with an offering. As sinful people could only approach God, the Holy God, through sacrifice. But now Christian comes to the God through once for all sacrifice of Jesus. He makes our worship acceptable. And so we offer not only our songs, but our whole lives to Him. You may notice the Lord appears again and again in the psalm. When Lord is written in capital letters in our English Bibles, it translates the covenant name of God, Yahweh. In Exodus 3, God revealed Himself to Moses as I am who I am. And in Exodus 6, God said, I am the Lord. And this is the God who made Himself known to Israel, the God who rescued His people, and the God who kept His promises. So far, this psalm has called all the earth to sing and all families of nations to worship. But why? Why should everyone, everywhere, give glory to the Lord? Look down verse 4. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The Lord is not a small tribal God belonging only to Israel. He is the God of all the earth. He is above all gods, and He is the living creator and king. Verse 5 continue, for all the gods of nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The Old Testament is before many idols, gods made by human hands, and gods that could not see, speak, hear, save, or rule. Daniel 5 gives a vivid picture of this. Daniel said to King Belshazzar, you praise the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in your hand your life and your all your ways. That is the problem with idols. They might be things that we can hold in our hands, but they cannot hold our lives. And this is not just an ancient problem. Our idols today may not be statues of wood or stone, but we still give our hearts to created things. David Foster Wallace, the late American writer, said, everybody worship. The only choice we get is what to worship. And Christopher Tang, a Christian CEO in Singapore, puts it another way. Luxury once enjoyed become a necessity. And many of us would feel the same. We say, if only I can get that degree, that job, that salary, that house, and that lifestyle, slowly good gifts become things we feel we cannot live without. And this is how idols work. They often begin as a good gift, but when a gift becomes ultimate, it becomes a master. So if only the best things in this world are too small to carry our deepest hopes, where can our hopes rest? Verse 6 gives a hint. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. The glory of a football team comes after victory. They lift the trophy, the camera flash, and the nation celebrate. But God's glory is different. God does not become glorious because we praise Him. We praise Him because God is already glorious. That is why verse 9 says, worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. God's holiness means He is a holy one, utterly set apart, pure, glorious, majestic. He is the creator. We are His creatures. So when the sunset tremble, does not mean we run away from God as he were cruel. It means we come before him with reverence and awe. The holy God is good, and he graciously invites us near, but never casually, never carelessly, and never on our own terms. I remember when my children were born. There was great joy, of course, to myself. But there was a stillness, a seriousness, and a sense of something precious and weighty had happened. If that is true before the gift of life, how much more before the living God, the giver of life? The psalm called us to sing to the Lord, worship him, give him the glory due to his name, because he alone is worthy. For a Christian, that means our worship must not become small, casual, or self-centered. We do not sing merely because we like the songs. We sing because the Lord is great. And if you are not yet called yourself a Christian, Psalm 96 invites you to ask, what is truly worthy of your worship, and what are you building your life around, and can it really carry the weight of your hopes? Declare his glory among the nation. The second call is to declare. Verse 2 says, proclaim his salvation day after day. Verse 3 said, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. And verse 10 said, sing among the nations, the Lord reigns. Did you notice the movement of the psalm? Worship does not stay private. Singing becomes speaking. Praise becomes proclamation. And those who know the Lord are called to tell others about him. And that connects very naturally with tonight. The World Cup begins with many nations, and their numbers get smaller and smaller. Group stage, knockout, quarterfinals, semifinals, and finally two countries. And tonight, only one nation will lift a trophy. And this is how sport works. It begins with many nations and ends with one winner. But God's kingdom works differently. God's purpose is never narrow the nations down until only one is left standing. His purpose is to gather the nations in, to hear his salvation, to see his glory, and to worship him as king. That has always been God's plan. After the nations were scattered and Babel, God called Abraham and promised, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. From Abraham came Israel. From Israel came the promises, the scriptures, the prophets, the kings, and finally, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. No prime minister is the Messiah. No football manager is the Messiah, no matter how desperate the fans may be. No captain lifting the trophy is the Messiah. But the Bible said Jesus is. He's not a national mascot. He's not a political slogan. He's not just another religious teacher. He is the promised king through whom God's salvation reaches the nations. So here is the contrast. The World Cup begins with many nations and ends with one winner. God's salvation begins with one man, comes through one nation, and is fulfilled in one Savior, Jesus Christ, and is now proclaimed to all nations. And that is why Isaiah 49:6 says, the servant of the Lord will be a light for the Gentiles, so that God's salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And that is exactly what this psalm calls us to declare. The Lord reigns, and his salvation is for all people. We see this pattern already in the Exodus. God rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt, led them through the wilderness, and provided for them again and again. But Israel's journey also shows us something uncomfortably familiar. God kept saving, Israel kept doubting. God kept providing, Israel kept grumbling. And we are not so different. We see God's kindness, still worry. We receive his gifts, still grumble. We want salvation, but we also want control. And yet God's purpose did not fail. Israel was chosen so that through them, God's blessing would reach the world. God's salvation was always meant to overflow to the nations. And now Psalm 96 calls said to God's people, tell the nation, proclaim his salvations, declare his glory, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And that message is wonderfully comforting. The world is not finally ruled by chaos, politics, armies, celebrities, markets, or AI, or even football. The Lord reigns. But this is also deeply challenging. If the Lord reigns, then none of us is ultimate, and not our own desire, not our own achievement, and not our private kingdoms. For Christian, that means our faith cannot remain private. A verse tends to give us what to say, the Lord reigns. And the rest of the Bible shows us how we say it, with gentleness and respect, with truth and love, with boldness in prayer. So we declare his glory not arrogantly, as if we are better than others, but like one hungry person telling another where bread can be found. And if you are mainly because of the World Cup final tonight, or because a friend has brought you here, welcome to All Souls. Very glad that you are here. But don't worry, the whole service is just over 60 minutes, which is shorter than a football match, even before the actual time and penalties. But let me summarize this, the second quote with this. The God who made you is not far away. He has made himself known. His salvation is not for one ethnic group, one class, one culture, or one nation. His salvation is proclaimed to all peoples. The invitation is for you too. If you would like to explore more, speak to the person who brought you, or join us here on Tuesday evening in August for one of our summer gatherings. The final call is to rejoice. Look at verse 10 with me. Saying among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. And verse 11, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Verse 12, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them, let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. And verse 13 said, let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. That is surprise, isn't it, to the psalm? Why does creation rejoice? Because the Lord reigns and he is coming to judge. You see, the whole creation is pictured as celebrating. The heavens, the earth, the sea, the fields, the trees. Psalm 98 even said, let the rivers clap their hands. And it is as if the whole creation becomes a choir before the Creator. And yet many of us, judgment sounds like bad news. We think of punishment, condemnation, or fear. But in the Bible, God's judgment is also good news. It means God will put things right. Evil will not have the final word. The weak and the forgotten are not invisible to God. The world with no judgment would mean no final justice, no answers to abuse, corruption, cruelty, greed, and death. That would not be good news, would it? So creation rejoices because the Lord come to judge with equity, righteousness, and faithfulness. But this does not mean everyone is automatically safe. God's judgment is good news because he is righteous and faithful, but also means that he takes evil seriously, including the evil out there in the world and the evil in our own hearts. So how can we stand before this coming judge? This is where Psalm 96 leads us to Jesus. Verse 2 says, proclaim his salvation day after day. And Titus chapter 2 said, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Verse 10 says, saying among the nation, the Lord reigns. And Jesus, risen from the dead, said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The psalm said, the Lord is coming to judge the earth. Titus says, we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But Titus 2 goes even further. It said, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for him a people that are his very own. So if God is coming to put the world right, then the question is not only will God deal with the evil out there. The question is also, how will God deal with what is wrong in me? The Christian answer is not that we qualify ourselves, not by performing well enough, not by being morally impressive, not by being religious enough. Jesus qualifies us by grace. He gave himself for us. He died to redeem us. He rose to make us his very own. And he is gathering a people who belong not ultimately to an earthly nation, but to his everlasting kingdom. So yes, tonight, many people will ask whether Spain or Argentina will win. But Psalm 96 leads us to a deeper and more lasting question. Do I belong to this king? So as we close, let's return to the question we began with. Why is the Lord worthy of the worship of all the earth? Because he alone is worthy, so sing to him. Because he reigns and his salvation is for all peoples, so declare his glory among the nations. And because he coming to judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness, so rejoice. And remember how the psalm begins in verse 1? Sing to the Lord a new song. A new song doesn't mean the old song were bad. It means God's people has fresh reason to praise him. His saving work is still alive. His purpose still moving forward. His glory is still to be declared among the nations. And Psalm 96 ultimately leads us to Jesus. He is the one who brought God's salvation to the nations. He is the risen Lord who said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He is the coming judge, and he is the king who is worthy of the worship of all the earth. One day, people from every tribe, every language, every nation will sing to the Lamb who was slain. The glory of the trophy fades. The glory of the nations rise and falls. But the glory of the Lord endures forever. So come to him, worship him, trust in him, declare his glory among the nations. Let me pray as we close. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us your glory in Jesus. Help us to sing to you a new song, to declare your glory among the nations, and to rejoice as we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of your great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, in his precious name. Amen.